Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ksubos Daf Kuf. And we begin on Tzadi Tes Lamed Beis by the Mishnah, six lines up from the bottom. The Mishnah begins, Shum HaDayanim. When the Dayanim, the Beis, they go and evaluate a property, the Shum means the evaluation of the property. So if they make a mistake, our Mishnah is going to say whether that mistake is considered significant enough that the deal is void, or do we say, no, the deal still goes through. So the Mishnah tells us that if the judges made a mistake, they're shepichasu shtus, they had the property evaluated for less than a sixth of its proper value. So let's say, for example, the property was worth a certain amount of money. It was worth X dollars. And instead of evaluating for X, they under-evaluated it by at least a sixth more than its value. So they sold it for 5/6. So in that situation, they're undervaluating it by 6. Shepichasu shtus. Oshesifu shtus. Or they added on a 6. So instead of selling it for X, they sold it for X plus 1/6 X. So in this situation, they either under-evaluated or they overvalued it by a 6. So in this situation, that's considered too much of a mistake, and michru and batel. Even though it's sold by a beis din, nevertheless, this is too big a mistake. As we learned in yesterday's year, if the almana sold something for 101 for 100, so that's considered, any mistake is considered too much of a mistake. But here with the beis din, the Tanakhama tells us that if it was more than a sixth, over-evaluated or under-evaluated, then the sale is null and void. Implication being, if it's less than a sixth, so it's not null and void. This is the Tanakhama's opinion. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Michron Kaim. He says, even in this situation, with a under over-evaluated by more than a sixth, Michron Kaim, the deal goes through. Why? Because Imkain, my basin, then how would you ever say that? The basin has power to it, so to say. So therefore, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we'll see there is an upper limit. We'll see that Rav Shimon Gamliel says it's 100%. So if you sold something for 200 and you sold it for 100, so that would be the upper limit, that you devaluated it by 50%. Nevertheless, in that situation, up to that amount, it would be a good deal, even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. More than that, then it wouldn't be good. We'll see that in the Gemara. So Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is, ma koch based in yofer. If you don't allow them to, quote, make a bigger mistake and still the deal goes through, so then people are going to make fun or say, what's the big deal about Beis Din? Their power isn't so great. Now, according to many, the Tanakhama also holds that there is a Koach Beis Din Yofer concept over here, but they just have it as a much lower set point, a sixth rather than a 50% or 100% difference, according to Rabbi Gamliel, going 200 to 100, so that's 100% if you look at it from the 100 point of view, or 50% if you look at it from the 200 point of view. Okay, Mishnah continues and says, "Avolam asui geres bikares beinayhen." If, however, they did a public achraza, Rashi explains that geres bikares means the achraza. This is a public announcement of this sale, which we talked about in previous shurim. Lashon bikares, Rashi says, is shemavakrin osa b'nei adam aydei achraza. People will check it out, like biker cholim. People will go investigate, and they'll check it out. And therefore, in that situation, the Mishnah tells us if they make such a public achraza, then afilu machru Shove money, b'masayim, if they sold something that's worth 100 for 200, or vice versa, oh, shove masayim is worth 200, and they sold it only for 100, michron kaim. We say in that situation, the deal goes through no matter what because of this public achraza. Now, we certainly understand it that if they're functioning based in as the shaliach, so to say, of the yisomim, so when they're selling something, we can understand why we have to have a machlokas about whether they under-evaluated it, whether the deal goes through or not. Tanakhama says if they under-evaluate it by more than a sixth, the deal doesn't go through. And even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, if they under-evaluate by a tremendous amount, 200 for 100, the deal doesn't go through. So we understand that because they're functioning, so to say, as the shaliach for the yisomim, and we can argue that they only want the yisomim then to be a good shaliach for them and not a bad shaliach. But the Mefarshim asks, why in the other situation, if they got a great deal on it, it was worth 100 and they got 200 for it, that implies that if they got 300 for it, the deal would be null and void. Or even according to the Chachamim, the Tanakhama, if they got more than a sixth for it than it was worth, so then the deal would be null and void. Why? Why can't we say that they're functioning on behalf of the Yisomim and the Yisomim are thrilled with this, so therefore the deal should go through? So the Mefarshim explained, low plug, we don't want to make any distinction over here. The value of error is either according to the Tanakhama a sixth, according to the Rav Shimon Gamliel, it would be $100 off the $200 price. That would be the maximum amount. And therefore, we do it whether it's an undercharge or an overcharge. Okay, Gemara begins and asks us the following question. Ibarlu, the Beis Medrash, they ask the following shaila. Shaliach kiman. What happens if you have a shaliach? Now, Tosu says that Rashi says over here in the bottom Rashi on the daf, on Tzadi Tesla with Beis, shaliach detor kiman. The regular shaliach over here of the Yisomim. Tosu says, that he does defend Rashi, because there are questions on Rashi's pshat. He does defend Rashi, but he also brings down from the Rabbeinu Tam a different pshat and says it's talking about a shliach of Beis Din. So there's two different ways to understand the upcoming Gemara. We're going to learn it nice and simple like Rashi, that we're dealing over here with a regular shliach, not a shliach of Beis Din. But there is a way to learn this entire Gemara saying that we're dealing with a shliach of Beis Din. So in any event, the Gemara asked the question, and we turn now to Kuf Amud Aleph. The Gemara is asking, what is the status of this shaliach? Do we view the shaliach as an amana, like we had in the previous Gemara, that any mistake, even selling something worth 101 for 100, the deal is null and void? Or do we say, no, we follow like the basin, for example, like the pin of the Tanakama, that if the error is under a sixth, though the deal is going through, but if it's a sixth or more, the deal doesn't go through. So Rava Amar Rav Nachman, Rava says the name of Rav Nachman, shaliach kidayonim. Rava says that the shaliach here has the status of dayanim. In other words, we allow a deal to only be in place, the deal goes through, if it's less than a sixth. But if it's a sixth or more, so then the deal is null and void. Whereas Rav Shmuel Bar Bizna or Rav Nachman, Shmuel Bar Bizna says the name of Rav Nachman, no, we deal him over here like an almana, that any mistake that the shaliach makes is going to make the deal null and void. Just like the almana, if she sells something 101 for 100, so then the deal is null and void, so too the shaliach, if he makes even a slight error, not even a sixth, even less than a sixth, the deal is null and void. Why did each of these two shittas say in the name of Rav Nachman? Rava said in the name of Rav Nachman, and Shmuel Bar-Bizna said in the name of Rav Nachman. What was this svara? So Rava, Rav Nachman, shliach dayanim. Rava said that Rav Nachman holds that the shliach has the status of dayanim, that we allow them to make up to a mistake of a sixth, because ma dayanim lav ledid hu, av shliach nami lav ledid day. Because the dayanim aren't gaining anything from this, they're doing the orphans a favor, trying to figure out what's right for them. So they're not getting any personal gain from this. So to the shaliach, he's not getting any personal gain from this. So therefore, we give them the higher status. The shaliach has the same higher status like the dayanim of up to a sixth error, like the Tanakhama of the Mishnah says. Lafuke amana delidida, as opposed to when the almana is selling something, so she's the one who will benefit from it. So therefore, in that situation, any mistake that she makes, since she's benefiting from it, but it's hurting the yisomim, so the deal is null and void, even if she sells something for 101 for 100, which is a very slight error. On the other hand, Rav Shmuel Bar Bizna said in the name of Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman, ki amana. No, we view the shaliach over here like the amana. Why is that? Because ma amana yechida, av shaliach yachar. Because each of them is an individual, as opposed to the beis, lafuki beis, the rabim ninu. So when you're dealing with the rabim, we're going to allow a larger error, and that the deal still goes through because you're dealing with the rabbin. But when you're dealing with a single person, like the amana or a shaliach, so then the deal doesn't go through if there's even the slightest of errors. How do we passing? Passing like Rav in the name of Nachman, or do we passing like Rav Shmuel Bar Bizna in the name of Nachman? So the Gemara says, "V'hilchasa shaliach k'almana." We say that the shaliach is like an almana, and that is like the opinion of Rav Shmuel Bar Bizna, who said it over in the name of Nachman. Gemara says, "But why? Why do we pass like that? After all, we had a Mishnah. We learned this in yesterday's Shir, so Mishnah in Trumos, which said, why is this any different over here than the case of the Mishnah in Trumos, which said that if a man said to a shaliach, please go and be Torim for me, please go and be taking Trumos off on my field, but he doesn't instruct him, I'm a generous guy, I'm a stingy guy, or I'm an average guy. He doesn't tell him to take off a 40th, a 50th, or a 60th. He just tells him, go take a Trumos off for me. So the shliach goes and dutifully does what he was asked to do. So Torim kidas balabais. So he tries to figure out what the das of the balabais is. He says, oh, he's a very generous person. Mistami wants 1/40th. He's an average person. No, Mistami wants 1/50th. He's a very stingy person. Mistami only wants me to take off a 60th. Vimeni yodea daitush balabais. If he can't figure out or doesn't know the balabais well enough to figure out what he would want, so then take the 50, the 1/50. Torim bevenis, because Mistami, that would be close enough. Torim bevenis echo mechamishim. But if he instead, let's say the balabais really wanted to take 1/50th for truma, but the shliach piches asara or hosif asara, we explained yesterday some machlokas Rashi Tosus as to which one is with. So you could have piches asara to say that instead of a 50th he took a 40th, or you could say that instead of a 50th he took a 60th. So whichever way he did it, whether it was piches or hosif, whichever one you say was the going to 1/40th, and whichever one you say is going to 1/60th. Either way you look at it, truma so truma, this is perfectly good. Because even though he made a mistake, we say it's good. Now, this is more than a little mistake. This is a significant mistake. And yet, we see in the Mishnah in Trumas, it says that even though the individual, shaliach, made a mistake, the deal goes through. So how come Rav Nachman over here, according to Rav Shmuel Bar Bizna, says that even a little mistake, the deal doesn't go through? So what's the difference between the two? So Gemara says, no. In the case of the trumos, say utrom, when the person told the shliach, go and take trumos off on my behalf, but he didn't instruct him what my behalf is. So therefore, the ikah torim be'ein ra, the ikah torim be'ayin yofet. There are those that go and are doing it in a stingy fashion. They only take a 60th. And those who do it in a more magnanimous fashion, they take off a 40th. And there are those that are average. So therefore, he didn't instruct him what to do. And therefore, he basically was saying, the shliach didn't make a mistake. He said, this is what I thought. It's not a mistake. This is what I thought. That's, you didn't instruct me how much to take off, which means you basically said, I should do what I think you would want to do. Well, this is what I thought you wanted. It's not a mistake. You wanted something else, but that's not what you instructed me. You instructed me to take off. And therefore, I'm basically being instructed to take off what I think you wanted, not what you actually wanted, because you didn't instruct me. So therefore, there's no mistake there. And that's why the Mishnah in Truma says the deal goes through. Truma so Truma, even though he was Pichas Asar or Hosef Asar. But here, by us, and the Shliach made a mistake. Avalhocha to Usahu. He made a mistake. If he sold the field for that was worth 101 for 100, so he's just like the Amana. And Amalei, because the person who was sending him can say, Loi Boy Loch, let me tell you, who asked you to make a mistake? I wanted you to sell it for 101. You sold it for 100, you didn't do what I asked you to do. And therefore, Shliach, who doesn't follow what his instructions are, is Shlichus, so Eino Shlichus. So therefore, in this situation, the Shliach, who's functioning and makes a mistake, is like the Amona, who, if she makes a mistake, she's hurting the Yisomim, and therefore the deal is null and void. So that explains our Shulba business understanding Rav Nachman, and it's not a stira to the Mishnah in Trumos. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav Huna Bar Chanina, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Huna Bar Chanina says the name of Rav Nachman, Halacha Kedivrei Chachamim. Now here we have a statement in the name of Rav Nachman as to our Mishnah. We have the Tanakhama on Mishnah, which are called the Chachamim, versus Rav Shimon Gamliel. So the Tanakhama says up to a sixth the deal is valid, a sixth or more of the mistake, the deal goes void. It's null and void. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel said, no, even a much larger amount, the deal is not null and void, because Imkei Makoch based in Yofet. Now, Rav Huna Bar Chanina said in the name of Rav Nachman that we paskel like the Chachamim. So Gemara says that implies that Rav Nachman doesn't hold from Imkein Makoch based in Yofet. So the Gemara questions that. Is that really true? The lesson of Rav Nachman Makoch based in Yofet, does he not hold from this idea? After all, if I'm Rav Nachman, I'm a Shmuel, Rav Nachman himself was the one that said, albeit in the name of Shmuel, Yisomim Shabo Lachlok Benichse Avim, if you have young children that are orphans, Rachmon Litzlan, and they are incapable of taking care of the matters of the estate into their own hands. So Rashi explains that we set up an apotropos for them, based in Mamidim Lehem Apotropos, and Rashi explains that L'kol Echad V'Echad Menaktanim, for each and every one of the children that is a katan, implying that if they were gedolim, they could have their own say in the matter, because they're gedolim. So if they're young children, and Basin has to set up an apotropos for them, so then each one gets his own apotropos to basically be the court-appointed guardian looking out for their best interests. So, Uborin Lahem Chelik Yofa, and each one of the apotropsin goes and divides up the estate in the best way they think for their client, for their child. So let's say there's three children, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, they're all under the age of Bar Mitzvah, so the court appoints three apotropsin, and the apotropos that's appointed for Reuven does what he thinks is best for Reuven, likewise for Shimon, likewise for Levi. Each of the three apotropsin, they divide up the properties of the father that Nebuch passed away, and a third is given to Reuven, a third is given to Shimon, a third is given to Levi. Let's assume there's no Bechor Reuven, make it nice and simple, and each of them tries to find out a nice piece of land for their respective child that they're the guardian for. No, that's great, until they become Bar Mitzvah. Higdilu, when they finally all reach the Bar Mitzvah, so Reuven says, listen, I don't like this field that you gave me. I wanted the field that Shimon got. And Shimon says, I wanted the field that Reuven got, or vice versa. So Yecholim Limchos, they're allowed to protest. Gemara says, Rav Nachman Didei Amar, this was Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel that said that the children can protest when they become older. However, Rav Nachman himself says, Rav Nachman Didei Amar, he disagrees with his Rebbe Shmuel, Higdilu Ein Yecholim Limchos, if they had an apotropos pick out for them, Chelik Yofe, so then that's done deal. They can't go back on it when they become Gedolim. Why not? Because if we let them go back on it, Rav Nachman says, "In kein makoch based in Yofet." So then, of what value, so to say, is the base in appointing an apotropos if it can be done, if it can be undone? So therefore, you see clearly, Rav Nachman does hold from the principle of makoch based in Yofet. So if he holds like the principle of in kein makoch based in Yofet, so then why doesn't he pass it in our Mishnah like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, instead of passing like the Tanakhama, like the Chachamim? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, it's not a kasha, low kasha. Why? Because they're talking about two different cases. In our Mishnah, where we said that we passing like the Chachamim, that Rav Huna bar Chanina said in the name of Rav Nachman that we passing like the Tanakhama, like the Chachamim, that's because they made a mistake. The Beis Din over there made a mistake of sixth or more, and that's why Rav Nachman says we don't say in Cain Makoch Beis Din Yafit when it's such a large mistake. Implication being Ha Delo To, if they did not make a mistake, then Rav Nachman doesn't allow the person to retract it. So in the case of the Yesomim, where the apotropos said to them that I picked this piece of land for you, and this apotropos picked this piece of land for you, so then we don't let them go and retract it, because they didn't make a significant mistake. You know, Mishnah, where they made a mistake that's more than a sixth or more, so then that's considered a significant mistake. And Rav Nachman says, we don't say the rule of Imkein Makoch Beis Din Yafit in that situation. But if they didn't make a significant mistake, like with the Yesomim, with the three different apotropos, and as in my case of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, so then the deal is done. Imkein Makoch Beis Din Yafit. Otherwise, we would say that Beis Din doesn't have power. And if so, we do say that Beis Din is power. So Gemara says, wait a second, if you're telling me that they didn't make a mistake, the apotropos gave a share for Reuven, another apotropos gave an equal share for Shimon, another apotropos gave an equal share for Levi. In other words, no mistake was made, so then, idilo to, if no mistake was made, ma'ichol limcho. So then what exactly are they protesting about? Why would one often say, I want his field, and this one say, I want that field? So Gemara gives the obvious answer, biruchos, because it's location. Location, location, location is everything in real estate. And Rashi explains, this one says, Reuven says, I wanted Shimon's field, even though they're worth the same amount on paper, but I have another field, as Rashi says in Dibru Maslu Biruchos, Tovli Lito Chalki B'Mizruch. I would have rather had the eastern field that they gave to Shimon instead of giving me the western field, because Sheyesh Li Etzlo saw this Shenof Limi Beis Avi Imi, because I also happen to own another field that's right adjacent to the field that they gave to Shimon. And now I would have a much larger single plot of land rather than have two separate plots of land. So therefore, the argument that they're making is, I would have liked that plot of land, not because it was a mistake, because I would be better off with that plot of land. There, Rav Nachman says, we applied the principle of Imkein Makoch Beis Din Yafit, and we don't allow the chalukah that the apotropsin did to be undone. Mark continues, says, Kosser of Dimi, when Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Omar, he said the following scenario. Maisa, there once was such a case, the also Rebbe Kedivri Chacham. There once was a case where the Beis Din made a mistake of a sixth or more when they were selling the property of the Yisomim, and Rebbe Paskin, like the Chachamim, that the deal is null and void. However, along came another great Tana, Amalafon of Prata, Prata was the name of this Tana, who was Bino Shabi Elazar ben Prata, who was the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Prata, and Tosus says, Ben Bino Shabi Prata Gadol, and Rabbi Elazar's father was Rabbi Prata Gadol, and Prata was the grandson of this Rabbi Prata Gadol. In other words, the grandson was named Prata after his grandfather, who was the great Rabbi Prata. In any event, so this person, Prata, came along and told Rabbi, and he said to him, Imkein, Makoch Beis Din Yafit, if you are going to go and say that this deal that the Beis Din did, which was an error that was a sixth or more, and you're making it null and void, so then you're basically following the opinion of the Chachamim, but you're not following the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, who says, Imkein, Makoch Beis Din Yafit. That's a very good argument. If Beis Din does something, we don't want Beis Din to be dismissed. And therefore, Rebbe retracted. Nehechzer Rebbe Yisamaisa. And Rebbe said, okay, according to this version of Rav Dimi, Rebbe actually had paskin that the deal was null and void, and now he went back and said, no, the deal is not null and void. The original deal is a good deal. That's the first version that we have of this story, Rav Dimi's version. Rav Dimi Masni Hochi. So, as I just said, Rav Dimi learned it this way. However, Rav Safra Masni Hochi, when Rav Safra told him this Maisa from Rebbe, he learned it in a slightly different way, and he learned it the following way. He said that there was this Maisa, there was such a case, a Maisa over here, Ubikesh Rebbe Lassos Kedirichon. Rebbe wanted to, not that he did, like Rav Dimi said, he wanted to paskin like the Chachamim and say the deal was null and void because there was an error of a sixth or more. And along came Prata, Amalafana Prata, Benosha Rabbi Elazar and Prata, Ben Benosha Rabbi Prata Agadol. Along comes this grandson of Rabbi Prata Agadol, this Tana whose name was Prata, and he said to Rabbi Imkein, Makoch Beis Din Yafit, if you're going to go passing like the Chachamim, you're basically negating the power of Beis Din, and therefore don't do so. And and therefore Rebbe listened to him. Lo asa Rebbe asa maisa, and Rebbe didn't do this. So the difference between Rav Dimi's version is, Rav Dimi says that Rebbe originally made the case null and void. He said that the Beis Din's actions are considered null and void, and we wanted to return the property, and then he subsequently was chozer, and he said, no, I'm giving back the property to the person that bought it because Beis Din imkei ma'akoch Beis Din yofeh. So according to Rav Dimi's version, he actually paskined a certain way that the deal was null and void, and then he retracted that psak and gave the field back. According to Rav Safra's opinion, he only wanted to paskin that the deal was null and void, but he never did. So therefore, the deal never was null and void, and the deal stays the way that it was. Okay. What is the difference between Rav Dimi and Rav Safra? So the Gemara says, Lema b'chol kamiflegi. Maybe they're arguing about the following point, and that is that Rav Dimi holds Mar Savar Tor B'dvar Mishnah Chozer. Rav Dimi, who said that Rebbe actually retracted the din that he paskin, he originally said that the deal is null and void, and he took the property back and gave it to the original owner, and then he subsequently retracted that, and he said, no, the deal goes back to the buyer, because Rav Dimi holds that if you make a mistake in the Dvar Mishnah, and ours is a mistake in the Dvar Mishnah, because we have the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, who gave a very good reason, Imkei Ma'akoch based in Yofet, so we paskel like Rav Shimon Gamliel in this situation, and therefore he made a mistake in the Dvar Mishnah, and that's why it's Chozer. As opposed to Rav Safra, who doesn't hold like that. We want to suggest that this is what they're arguing about. Rav Safra holds Umar Savar ain't a Chozer. Even though it was a Torah B'Dvar Mishnah, the deal doesn't go back. Therefore, Rav Safra said that the deal never was fully retracted by Rebbe. He just was thinking of retracting it, but never did. So let us say that they're arguing about Torah B'Dvar Mishnah, Chozer or not Chozer. That's the Machlokes of Dimi and Rav Safra. Gemara says no. In fact, lo, the Kuli Amo Torah B'Dvar Mishnah, Chozer. Everybody holds it. If the Tana makes a mistake, the Beis Din makes a mistake in the Dvar Mishnah, so then the deal is null and void. But Umar Sava, in this situation, they're arguing about what the actual Maisa was. So Rav Dimi held Hochi Ava Maisa. He said that Rebbe actually retracted the original psak that he made. And Umar Sava and Rav Safra said, no, Hochi Ava Maisa, no. He wanted to retract his original psak, but he never did. And therefore, the deal just stayed the way that it was. But there was no retraction and then a reestablishment of the original deal. So the machlokas just happens to be what the circumstances were, but not a svara, not a Torah B'Dvar Mishnah type of machlokas. Mark continues, says, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, what about, and we had this previously, Armauta, a woman who's Nebuch, a widow, the Zabina, and she sells some of the property in the estate, let's say for Mizonos, and then the Baal Chov comes and takes that property back from the person that the Almana sold it to, who has a chrayis, Ayasmi, the estate, the Yisomim, they're the ones that have to go and pay back the person that the Almana sold the property to, not the Almana. And likewise, Ubeidina Dezabin, if Bezin had to go and sell the properties, let's say to give Mazonas to the widow or for some other similar reason, if Bezin sells it, even the Bezin doesn't have the Achrayis Ayasmi. Again, the Yisomim, the estate, has the Achrayis. There's a Bachov that takes something from the estate, so the property that was sold, it's the achrayis of the estate, of the Yisomim, to go and return the money to the person that bought that property. Gemara says, pshita, of course, who else should it be? Why would you think that the almana has to have achrayis? It wasn't her field. And why would you think the Beis Din has the achrayis? It's not their field. The estate has to have the achrayis. The Yisomim has to have the achrayis. Pshita. Gemara says, no, not so pshita. You're right. In the case of the almana lots trichalei, the almana case was obvious. It wasn't her field. Why should she have to have achrayis for it? She's selling it for Mizonos, so she doesn't have achrayis on it. However, I might have thought that the Beis Din should have a chrayis. Ki itzrich lei. The chiddush over here is that even the Beis Din doesn't have a chrayis, because I would have said beidina, the Beis Din should have a chrayis, because ma'adutem, I might have said in return to kufal mibeis, kol dezavim mibeidina. If anybody purchases land from Beis Din, they're getting a benefit if they bought it from Beis Din. So the girsa that we have is adaito lemeifak lekala hu dezavim, because he wants this to go out to the public. Everybody should know, listen, I bought this land from the Beis Din, and therefore he wants to let everybody know that he's a very wealthy guy and he buys this land from the Beis Din, so therefore that's his benefit and he's not worried about achrayis. So therefore, you might think in that situation that there is no achrayis at all. So kamash bulan, that the chiddush is that even in that situation, there is achrayis. But of course, it's the Yisomim that have to have the achrayis and not the Beis Din. That's the girsa that we have. Rashi has a slightly different girsa. Rashi says, kol dezavim mibeidina adaita the Norfolk lay callers of it. You might have thought, Rashi says, since this is a well-known property sale, And the purchaser is certain that if there were people that claimed to have this field, or that they claimed that the orphans owed the money, they would have come to collect this field. They would have complained. And the fact that nobody came forward to complain and say, hey, that's my field, or that field is owed to me, therefore the guy bought it, pretty much in his mind, you might have thought that he's there for purchasing it and there is no achrayis on it, because he's saying there is no need for achrayis. It was such a public sale. So kamash lan, no, even in that situation there's achrayis, and of course the achrayis is on the yesomim and not on the basin. So there is a reason over here, chiddush over here, to tell us that the basin also sells it with achrayis. Again, the chiddush isn't that the yesomim have to pay the achrayis, but it's the fact that there is achrayis, that's the chiddush. Then we quote the second part of the Mishnah, which said, Rishim Gamliel says that, no, even if there was an error that was a sixth or more, the deal is not null and void. So Gamliel says, really? If you sold it for 500% less than it's worth, the deal is not null and void? Yad kama. How much of an error does Rishim Gamliel allow in order that we say, im kein ma koch based in yofit? So Rav Huna bar Yehuda says the name of Sheshes, ad pauga, up to a half of the actual value. And that's the case of, it was worth 200, and you sold it for 100. And Tani Nam Yochi, the price says the same thing. Arm Shimon Gamliel, Shimon Gamliel says, based in Shemachu Shavim Masayim B'mana, O Shavim Monim B'Masayim, whether they sold something that was worth Masayim for 100, it was worth 200, sold for 100, or it was worth 100, sold for 200. Again, low plug, we don't make a distinction whether it's for the benefit or not for the benefit of the Yisomim, Michra and Kayim. Up to that amount, it is valid, but if it's more than that amount, then even Rav Shimon Gamliel says, we don't apply the rule of Kemah based in Koch, based in Yofeh, but we say it's null and void if it's such a large error. Amar Meim, Amar Mishmei, the Rav Yosef. Amar Meim tells the name of Rav Yosef, based in Shemachu below Achroza. What happens if the based in doesn't do Achroza? They just sell it. So this is Nasu Kamisha Tol B'dvar Mishnah V'choshen. This is as if they made a mistake. Notice we use the language as if they made a mistake in the Mishnah. And as we pointed out a moment ago, if the Beis makes a mistake in Dvar Mishnah V'choshen, the deal is null and void, and everybody gets back their property or their money, whatever was being sold. Now, why did Ameimar say it's Ki'ilu? Nasu means Ki'ilu. It was they made a mistake in Dvar Mishnah. This is a Befeirish mistake in Dvar Mishnah. Gemara says Nasu. Rashi says this is Loshon Bismia. Why are you saying over here that says if they made a mistake in Dvar Mishnah? This is a mistake in Dvar Mishnah. Rashi says in Dibur Maskil Nasu. It's in the last of the wide lines all the way at the very top of the Rashi's. Bismia with a question. Havadai tov b'dvar hashoni b'mishnah. This is definitely a mistake that they made in a mishnah. Where is that? Vadai tov from the following. Ditnan. It says in the following mishnah. So mishnah narochin, and it says there. Shuma yisomim. When you go and evaluate the property of yisomim to go and sell it, shloshim yom. You have to do this for 30 days, the morning and afternoon for 30 days straight, in order to get the best buy for the yisomim. So it should be well known that this property is for sale, and this way hopefully get the best buy for the yisomim. If you're doing this for hektish, you have to be even more stringent. Shum hektish, if you're evaluating property for hektish to go and sell it, so then you need 60 days, shishim yom, and again, lachrisim aboker b'erev, and you do this, whether it's for the yisomim or for the hektish, you do it in the morning, you announce it in shul, you announce it in the afternoon in shul, and you do this for 30 or 60 days, 30 days for the yisomim and 60 days for hektish. Now, this is a beferish mishnah. This is a mishnah on arachim that says you have to go do these public announcements. So how does Ameimer say that it's nasu, it's if they made a mistake in the Dvar Mishnah and the Choshen. They made a mistake in the Dvar Mishnah. He says, no. If we only had this Mishnah in Arochin, if you only had that Mishnah, you know what I said, Havamina, Hanimil Shliach. That's when a Shliach is doing this. The Shliach Lebeistin has to go and make this Hachrozah. And if he doesn't, then it's not a good sale. However, based in themselves, Abu based in themselves, lo, I might have said that the basin doesn't have to make the achrozo. Therefore, Ameimer is saying it's nasu, it's as if Kamisha Tov Dvar Mishnah V'chozu, because this Dvar Mishnah Arachin is only talking about a shliach. But Ameimer says that's such a valid idea that if the basin sells it without achrozo, it's as if they were going against a Beferish Mishnah. Kamash Ulan, that's what Ameimer is teaching us. Mor says, wait a second. Esve Ravashi Lamemer. Ravashi doesn't like what Amemer just said. And he questions him and he says, Shuma Dayanim, Shapichas Ushtos, Osi Ushtos, if the Dayanim under-evaluated or over-evaluated it by a sixth or more, so then, Michro and Batel, the sale is null and void. Implication being, Hoshava Bishava. But if it was the right amount, albeit without Hachraza, Michro and Kayim. Now, here it says that the right amount, implying without a hachraza would be perfectly good. But how come? My lab, the low ichrusu, the low achrus. Isn't it obviously that they didn't make achraz over here, and yet we're saying it's good? So how can you tell me that if Bezin sells it without achraza, that it's no good? Here it is good. So that's what Ravashi asks on a Maimer. So Gemara says, no, lo, bidi achrus. It's talking about where they did make achraza. And as long as they didn't make a mistake that is a sixth or more, so then the deal goes through. But they made achraza. Gemara says, no, that can't be. You're telling me this is talking about with achraza? Then later on, a moment later, in that Mishnah, it says, Habi the Sefer, but the Achraza, the Sefer is talking about where they definitely did make Achraza, because heavy ratio below Achraza, and therefore the ratio is talking about where they didn't make an announcement. Because the Tani Sefer says, Beferish in the Mishnah, Im Asu Igeris Bikaris, if they made Achraza, so then, Afilu Mach Hoshavim Monim Masayim, Hoshavim Masayim Bimona, Mechun Kayim. So the Sefer is talking about Achraza, the ratio must be talking about where it's not Achraza. So again, Ravashi's Kash on a Memer comes back, and he says, how can you tell me a Maimer that it's like they were taught in Dvar Mishnah and it's Chosrin. Here, they didn't make Achraza, and it's perfectly good as long as it wasn't the mistake of a sixth or more. Rav says, Taki, you're right. However, a Maimer is still okay. Ravashi, your question is a good question, but a Maimer didn't make a mistake, because we'll give several answers for a Maimer. So the first answer is as follows. Eladi olam bidlo achraz. Yes, you're right. We are talking about with a Noah achraza. However, why is it not a kasha on a Maimer who says that they have to make achraza? Lo kasha, because it depends what you're dealing with. Kan, a Maimer said you have to make achraza bidvorim shemachrizin aleim, with things that you normally make achraza about. So yes, you have to make achraza. But kan, bidvorim she'ein achrizin aleim. But our Mishnah, which says that you don't have to make achraza, that's talking about things that you normally don't make achraza on. Now, what's an example of things that you don't make achraza on? Eilim dvarim she'ein machrizin aleim, ha'avodim, slaves, if you're selling slaves, or metaltlin, you're selling movable property, or you're selling shtaros, you're selling IOUs. And these are all considered something which you don't make achraza on. Why not? So more explained. Because avodim, you don't want to make achraza about an eved for 30 days. You're going to announce we're selling this eved in the morning and the afternoon, because you know what? The eved's going to hear about it. He's going to run away. He says, I don't want to be having a new master. Avodim time of my eye. The reason why we don't is shema yishmu, because maybe the eved's going to hear this. He says, I'm running away. V'yivruchu. And likewise, with metaltlin and shtaros, we don't want to go and make these public announcements with metaltlin or for shtaros, because shema yignobu. If people start hearing that, oh, there's going to be an auction on this, so you publicize that these items are there, and some ganav is going to come along and possibly steal them. So therefore, that's teretz number one. A memer is not in argument with the fact that you do make achraza, because sometimes you do make achraza and sometimes you don't make achraza. So therefore, it's not a stira on a meimer. A meimer says you do make achraza, those are things that you make achraza on. And when we said that you don't have to make achraza, the low ichras we're talking about in a situation where you're selling something that doesn't normally have achraza. Teretz number one. Teretz number two, how we explain the seeming stira in a meimer, b'boi same more, kam b'shor she'machrizin, kam b'shor she'ein machrizin. It depends. Are you dealing with the time that they made hachraza or not? Because the Amri Nardoi, in Nardoi they said that for certain types of payments, you don't make hachraza. L'chraga, for a head tax, the government says every person has to pay $100, l'mizone, or you need to go and support the nebuch, the widow, or the children, with mizonos, you can't make achraza, you can't wait 30 days or 60 days, whatever it is that you want to wait until you get the money to support them, because they're going to starve. And likura, nebuch, you don't want to have a lunas of mace, you have to go bury the guy right now. So therefore, in these situations, when you have to pay the head tax, or else the king's going to throw you in jail, or you have to pay mizonos so the person doesn't die, or so nebuch, you have a kura, so the person doesn't stand there and rot while they're waiting to gather money to make the burial. So in all of these situations, below achraza. So in these situations, we do allow a sale to go without achraza. So that's what Amemer is talking about. He says sometimes you do have to make achraza, but our Mishnah said you don't have to make achraza. Is it talking about when you sold it to pay for a head tax, for mizonos, or for kfura? Teretz number two. Teretz number three. Vibai Sema, another way to explain how Amemer is not contradicted by the Mishnah, is because they're dealing with two different places. Amemer is talking about in a place where they make achrazas, and the Mishnah is talking about a place where they don't make achraza. Now, the Amr of Nachman, because we see that Rav Nachman said, Me'olam, Rav Nachman, who's a master dayan, said, Me'olam lo'asu igeres bikores b'nardoi. In Nardoi, they never made achraza. So therefore, when the Mishnah is talking about they didn't have to make achraza, that's talking about in Nardoi. But I mean, we're talking about every place else where they do have to make achraza. So these are the three terutzim to explain why Ravashi's kasha on the Meimar is not a good kasha. Now the Gemara says, Sovereign Mino, they wanted to suggest Mishum de Bekiyah Bishuma. The reason why in Nardoi that they didn't make such bikoris such a achraza is because they were all experts on how much things are worth, and there was no need to go and make a public achraza. But that's not the reason. Amlu Rav Yosef bar Minyumi, l'didi, mefarshali minei the Rav Nachman. Rav Yosef bar Minyumi said, I myself heard the real reason that Rav Nachman explained why in Nardoi they never made these public announcements. He says, mishum, because the karulu, because if they were to make such public announcements, the people that would go to these sales would be vilified, and they would call them b'nei achle nichsei de achrozosa, that they're eating up the properties of publicly announced sales. In other words, it was a genai, because, so to say, this is like buying somebody's house. Nebuch, the orphans, you're buying their house at a foreclosure sale. So instead of giving them top dollar, you're, so to say, you're buying out the house from right underneath them. And that would be a very, very big genai. So therefore, it would actually have a adverse outcome. Nobody would want to buy the property once it was announced. So therefore, in Nardoi, they didn't make such announcements. As Rashi explains, in Dibra Masach Mishum Dekor Luhu V'chulei, he says, Genai V'chorfahi Lehem, Kishikonim Nechosim Shebesed Mochun. It would be a terrible genai and an embarrassment and a degradation to go and purchase foreclosure sale type items with a base that is going to sell it to go get money. The fee shamach bas dochak, because such dire needs, shanosha lochets as the Yisomen, that somebody's pressuring the Yisomen, pay me, and therefore they have to never sell the Yisomen's property. In that situation, they're selling it obviously on urgent notice and they're not going to get the best price for it. And therefore, somebody who purchases it is considered a negative thing. They're vilified. And therefore, that's why in Ardoi, they didn't make such an announcement, because it actually had the opposite effect. Normally, you make the announcements in order to get a better price. If they would go in Ardoi and make an announcement, they would get a lower price. And therefore, they didn't make announcements in Ardoi. Very beautiful. Quarantine says, I'm Yehuda Meshmuel, we should say name Meshmuel, Metatl Shal Yisomim, if you grab the Metatl Yisomim to go and sell them, Shomin Osan, you go and evaluate them, Umochrin Osan Liatu, but you don't have to go and wait till the optimal time to go and sell them. You can sell them right away, because the Yisomim need the money right away. Seemingly, Rav Chista argues with him. Rav Chista Maravim, he says, Mochrin Osan Lishvachim, no, you wait till you get to the market, and you sell it at a later point in time. So it seems that the machlokes are able to review the Meshmuel and Rechista Maravimi as to whether you sell them right away or you wait till the market. The Gemara says, not a machlokes. Locally, you don't argue with each other. It depends. Ha the mikrav shuka, ha the mirchak shuka. Depends. If the market is coming up tomorrow, so that don't sell it today, wait till you go to the market. There'll be much more buyers and you'll do better for the orphans. However, if the market's not going to be for 3 months, so they need the money right now, so then you sell it right now. So there's no machlokes over here between Yehuda Meshmuel that says you sell it right away versus Rechista Maravimi says you wait till the market. It all depends on when the market is. Similarly, Rav Kahana Hava Biyodei Shichra, the Rav Masharsha Bar Chilkoi Yasma. Rav Kahana was the apotropos over the beer that belonged to a certain orphan known as Rav Masharsha Bar Chilkoi. So he was an orphan, and his properties were being managed by Rav Kahana. And Shai Adrigla, he didn't sell the beer that he had up until the regal. Now, why did he do so? So he said, I delayed selling it to the reg because I get a better price for it. Omar, Avo got the Nofa Bay Itzatstar, even though it may get a little bit spoiled. Rashi explains Itzatstar means Tam HaKorv LaHachmitz. It gets almost a little bit vinegary. It almost spoils, but not fully spoiled. Nevertheless, Maisi Zuzu Harifa. When I sell it around the regal time, everybody needs it. It's still certainly good, and therefore I'll be able to go and sell it very easily, and people won't buy it on credit. As Rashi says, Zuzu Harifa, people will be willing to give hard, cold cash. It'll be very easy for me to go sell it, because everybody needs it during the time of the regal. Or maybe in malls, and they're going to bring money, they may keep it, and nobody's going to buy it on credit. So I'll get hard, cold cash for the orphans, and I'll get a very good price for it. So it pays, he said, to save it until the regal to go and sell it for the orphans. Similarly, Ravina Havi Biyodei Charma, the Ravina Zuta Yasma. Ravina had in his possession, he was the apotropos, he had some wine that belonged to a certain Yosem whose name is the Ravina Zuti. His name was Ravina Zuti, and he was the Yosem. So Ravina was the apotropos over this. Bar Achsihava. And by the way, he was his nephew. Nebuch, his sister, had a son. The husband died, and he's selling the orphan's property. Lididei Nami Chamrava. Now Ravina also had wine of his own. So he had the wine of his nephew to sell, and he had his own wine to sell. He was willing to go take his wine to sell it in a faraway place where he'd get a better buy for it. So Kamasik Leila Sichra, he was going to sell his wine in a place called Sichra. So he said, I'm willing to take that risk. Am I allowed to go and take that risk for my nephew as well? So Asli came to Rav Ashi, went to Rav Ashi and asked him, Can I go? Amalei, he asked him, Ma'u le'amtuye ba'adon. Can I bring his wine there as well? As Rashi says, Yesh lochush lo titova asfina. I'm willing to take the risk for my own wine. Am I allowed to go and take the risk for my nephew's wine? I'll get a better buy, but it's a risk. Maybe the boat will sink. So Amalei, Rav Ashi tells him, Zil, go, because lo adif midi'doch. If you're willing to take the risk, so we're assuming that he would be willing to take the risk as well. So you're allowed to do so in order to try to get him a better price. No, Nebuch, if the boat sinks, the boat sinks. But you did the right thing. Okay, let's already go to the next Mishnah. Go a little bit weiter. Hamama Enes, we had this previously in the Gemara in Yevamos. So the Gemara there taught us, the Mishnah there taught us, and we have it again now. Hamama Enes, if a woman who is married midirabbanan and she just leaves the marriage, she's allowed to. She says, I don't like you. She was married off by her mother or her older brother, and she doesn't like her husband. She just walks away from the marriage. She doesn't need a get. She just walks away. Or a shnia, a woman who was in a marriage that was an isser midirabbanan. The shnios l'arayis, the arayis or isser midirabbanan. The rabbi said, these shnios are women that are similar in relationship to the ones that are prohibited in the Torah, but they're technically mutter, but it's so close that people make a mistake. So the rabbis asked them. They're called shnias larayis. So if a woman walks away from a marriage to Rabbanan, or she was married on an issa to Rabbanan, or an islandess, a woman who is incapable of having children, she doesn't have, Nebuch, the ability to have children, in all of these situations, ain lahem ksuba. It's their fault, so to say, the ma'enes walks away from the marriage, so it's her fault that she's not married, so she's not entitled to ksuba. The shnias larayas, since Rashi points out, nothing bad happens to them. The children aren't puzzled, they're not puzzled, so therefore she, Mistama, was the one that tried to get this marriage done. She's not losing anything, so she has a lot to gain by being married to him, albeit it's awesome. So we blame it on her that the marriage occurred, and therefore she has to leave the marriage, she's not entitled to ksuba. And likewise, an islandess, the husband didn't know that she was an islandess, so it's a mekachtos, she's not entitled to ksuba. So in all three of these situations, the mamenes, the shni, and the islandess, and like ksuba, they're not entitled to ksuba, the lo peros. Now there's a couple ways to understand the lo peros. So Rashi explains first over here, din peros vu pirkuna, shetiknu chacham tachas peros, nichsim look. So the rabbis had a quid pro quo. They said, the husband has to redeem his wife if she's captured, so we allow him to use the nichsei maluk. He gets all the properties, the payros from those properties, and he gets to use them. Shu ochel. So, ein law. She doesn't have a right to them. V'im nishbeis en ochai l'tosa. But, even if she's captured, he doesn't have to go redeem her in these situations. Why not? Because it's a tnai ksuba. And it's the same thing as the ksuba. Just like she doesn't have a ksuba, she doesn't have a tnai ksuba. Others explain, no, that she has no right to go and demand back from the husband the peros that he already ate. Okay, in any event, she's not entitled to ksuba, she's not entitled to peros. The Mishnah continues and says she's also not entitled, lo mizonos, the husband doesn't have to pay for her support. Again, that's a tenaya de ksuba, and she's not entitled to ksuba, so she's not entitled to mizonos. And likewise, lo blos, a number of different interpretations of what lo blos is. Rashi tells us over here, shchoki begodim shevia lo bishuma. These are the things that she brought into the marriage for him to wear, v'lov shenhu, and he wore them. So ein machzirin lo b'siyoso. He doesn't have to give them back. Tosa says, in Dibur Masav lo blos, says, elsewhere Rashi explains, mashenosar mishchok ya'begodim. These are the leftover garments that she has, so that he purchased for her. On the normal circumstances, she wouldn't have to give them back, but in this situation, she has to give them back. In any event, these women, the mamenes, the shnios, or the islandess, they don't have any of these entitlements. They don't have the ksuba, they don't have the peros, they don't have the mzonos, they don't have the blows. However, the Mishnah does say, if the islandess was known to be an islandess at the time of the marriage, it's not a mekachtos, in mitchila nesol, the shame islandess, he knew she was an islandess, he had children already from another wife, he was mekai in the mitzvah peruvu, he likes this islandess, he wants to marry her. Yesh la ksuba, then she's entitled to ksuba, it's no longer mekachtos, so if he divorces her, he has to give her a ksuba. Amonel koin god, though, which is an issa daraisa, albeit alive, and Amon is not allowed to marry Kohen Gadol, a grusha chalutza le Kohen Hedjot, a grusha is also me the arise of the marry Kohen Hedjot. We throw in chalutza, it's didn't the Rabbanim, but grusha and chalutza always go together. They're very similar. So in this situation as well, we throw in the chalutza, the same din as the grusha, and a mamzeris and a sin of Yisrael, a mamzeris or a sin of not allowed to Yisrael, and vice versa, and bas Yisrael and also a mamzer, a bas Yisrael is not allowed to marry an also a mamzer. In all these situations, it's an issa deraisa. Again, the chalutza is not technically an issa deraisa, but it's very similar to grusha, so it's lumped in over here. Yesh lahen kesuba. So here, since the iser is an iser daraisa, and the woman, if she has children, those children are going to be psulin or halalin or something that will be definitely wrong with them. So here we assume that the husband was the one that encouraged this marriage and tried to push forward the marriage, and therefore he's the cause, so to say, that they have to get divorced, and therefore she is entitled in all of these situations to a kesuba. Gemara starts off and says, Rav, when he learned our Mishnah, he learned it as follows. Rav Tani, Kitana, Yotza Beget, ain't lo ksuba. If a ketana goes out with a get, she's not entitled to a ksuba. Now, if she was married on the deraisa level, so she would be entitled to a ksuba. So here we're talking about a ketana who's only married on the derabana level, and the husband divorced her, so she's not entitled to a ksuba. And certainly, because she came on menes, if the woman is the one that leaves the husband, just walks away, she's a ketana, walks away from the wedding, from the marriage, so then Rav says she certainly isn't entitled to ksuba. If the one who has the get isn't entitled to ksuba, certainly one who's mamenis is not entitled to ksuba. That's what Rav learned on Mishnah. Shmuel learned it the opposite way. Shmuel Tani said, no, it's only the mamenis that ain't lo ksuba, because she's the one that walked away. Avol Yosef get, if she's married to midrabanan and the husband divorces her, yesh lo ksuba, she's entitled to it because the husband was the one that divorced her. The Az the Shmuel Tameh, and Shmuel holds like he held elsewhere. The Amish Shmuel, where did Shmuel say this? Mamenes and Laksuva. Shmuel had said that Mamenes is not entitled to Ksuba. However, Yosef Beget, Yesh Laksuba. But a woman is married on a Durabana level and the husband divorced, so she's entitled to Ksuba. Oh, exactly like he said over here. Furthermore, he said, additional dinim about the Mamenes and the Grusha, Mamenes lo posel ben achim, the Mamenes is allowed to marry the brother. If Reuben married her midrabana and then she walks away, so she's allowed to marry his brother Shimon, because they weren't considered halachically married, even though they were married originally on a derabbanan level. But when she walks away, that retroactively uproots the marriage. She's never married to Reuven. She's allowed to marry his brother Shimon. The Lord Possum Akuna, she's not considered somebody who's a divorcee, who's not allowed to marry a Kohen. She's considered somebody who's never married, and she can marry a Kohen. Yotza Beget, however, if she's divorced from this midrabbanan marriage, so then possibly Achim, she wouldn't be allowed to go marry Shimon if Reuven divorced her. She can't marry Reuven's brother Shimon if Reuven divorced her, even though she's a ketana, it's only a divorced midrabbanan. And likewise, Psula Minakuna, she's not allowed to go marry a Kohen. She's considered a divorcee, albeit midrabbanan, and a divorcee is not allowed to marry a Kohen. Furthermore, Shmuel said, Mamenes ain't a tzrichla hamti shlosh chodashim, and Mamenes doesn't have to go and wait the 3 months of Havchana. We learned previously that we want to know who the father truly is, and if we allowed a woman to get divorced one day and marry the next day, and then she became pregnant, we wouldn't know whether the husband was the prior husband or the current husband. So therefore, you always have to wait 3 months. So the din Shmuel says is that the Mamenes doesn't have to wait 3 months. She can get married right away. She will walk out of this marriage and get married tomorrow right away to another man. We turn to Kufala from an Aleph. Yotza Beget, however, if she was divorced, even though she's a ketana, right? Because you're talking about here a marriage to Rabbanan, marriage of ketana, even though she can't get pregnant, nevertheless, lo plug, tzrich la'amtim shlosh chodashim, then the din of Havchana does apply. So this is Shmuel's opinion, which argues with Rab. So Gemara says, my kamashalom, what's Shmuel teaching us over here in these statements that we just made? It's all of the famous Mishnah, Tanina Kula. We all learned them in Yevamos, not that long ago. Right? 100 days ago. We learned this in Yevamos. And it said over there, Hamamenes Bish, if a woman goes and leaves her midrabban in marriage, who muta bekrovosev, he muteres bekrovav. She's allowed to go marry his brother Shimon, all of his relatives, and he's allowed to marry all of her relatives. He can go marry her sister, her mother. No problem, because it wasn't considered a halachic marriage. Below possible nakuna, and she is not considered over here a divorcee, and she's allowed to marry a Kohen. And nosel a get, but if the husband gave her a get from this derabbanan marriage, then who asim krovosav, he asur bekrovav, then each of them is not allowed to marry the other one's relatives. She's divorced from Reuven, she can't marry his brother Shimon, and Reuven can't go and marry her mother. So who asim krovosav, he asur bekrovav, upasim nakuna, she's considered a divorced woman, albeit only the rabbanan, she can't marry a Kohen. So what's Shmuel telling us? Shmuel's an Amori, he shouldn't tell us what's in the Farish Mishnah. So Gemara says no. Oh, the Chiddush was on the Havchana aspect, on the 3 months. That wasn't beferish in the Mishnah. So Shmuel reiterated all the other dinim to get to this din, the Lotnan, which wasn't stated in the Mishnah, in Yevamos. So therefore, there is a Chiddush in Shmuel's telling us. So yes, he repeated a lot of things that were in the Mishnah for completeness' sake, but he did tell us this Chiddush over here, and that's why Shmuel said his din. So the bottom line is, we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says that there's no difference between the Mamenes and the Yotze Beget, where Shmuel says there's a big difference between the Mamenes and the Yotze Beget. Yitz Hashem, we'll pick this up tomorrow with the words Lema Ketanoi. Let us say this is a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is in fact a machlokes Tanoi. With this, we conclude today's shir. I'm dictating this shir right before Yom Kippur. Again, it's an opportunity for me to wish all my listeners a Gemar Chasim Atov, Yitz Hashem, we should be Zocha to learn together for many, many, many cycles to come. Yitz Hashem, all should have a good Gebench Jar.